Speak to us now, O Lord, we pray. Speak to our souls today, for this is why we've come, dear Lord. We're ready for your word. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Heaven and earth will pass, but God, your word will forever last. Lord, we are ready for your word. Father, I pray that your anointing would rest fresh and anew on your servant, that good seed would go forth, that seed that has already been planted would be watered, and that you would bring forth the increase. Have your way today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As a person, have you ever thought about what fuels you to do what you do? What is it that keeps you going when you would normally feel like giving up? For some of you, you think about goals, dreams, and desires. Some of you think about and do what you do so you can get a promotion or get to a better place of power in your job or in your field. Maybe you're trying to get a new title. Still others of you are fueled by the approval of others. You do what you do in order to receive their approval, so much so that when you don't get their approval, you don't feel like continuing to do what you've been doing. My brothers and sisters, every one of us is going to be fueled by something. There's going to be something that drives us to live out the purpose that we have put in front of ourselves. But let me ask you a question. What is it that drives you to be a child of God? What is it that drives you to be a Christian, a follower of Jesus? As a child of God, all of us are to be driven and motivated by something. And today I want to challenge you to think about what it is that challenges you. And I want to make a suggestion to you today that if you are going to be driven by anything to the glory of God, if you are going to be motivated to do ministry, if you are going to be excited to step up and to display what God has done in your life, maybe the thing you need to refocus on is the grace of God. See, many of us have not been challenged to think about grace beyond our salvation experience. We know we've been saved by grace, but there are too many of us who think once we've been saved by grace, now all of a sudden God turns everything over to us and we are supposed to make it by our works. The Bible says you're justified by grace. So you will need to recognize you are now to live by that same grace by which you were justified. Today, for a few moments, I want to talk to you from the thought, how to live by God's grace. How to live by God's grace. If you have your outlines, would you say amen? If you need an outline, raise your hand and the ushers will get one to you. And if you are watching, wherever you are, you can go to our website, goodhope.org, and find an outline there. Or you can take our fill-in-the-blank outline that is present on our church app and you can fill it in on your smartphone or tablet device. Our foundational text today is Titus chapter 3, beginning at verse 4. The Apostle Paul in Titus writes to his young protege, encouraging him and explaining to him the balance that exists between what God does through grace and what we are to do through faith. He lets us know that Jesus Christ has stepped in and done for us what we could not and cannot do for ourselves. And he also lets us know that when you receive grace, once you are saved, grace now is not a pass to be passive or idle in your work for God, but grace should be the fuel behind which you do everything you do in life. So as we unpack this passage, we're going to look at what it means to live from grace instead of striving for approval. You've heard me say before, but I'll say it again. If you live for the approval of others, you will die from their rejection. You'll also learn how grace should motivate you to work. work not to be saved, but because we are saved. And how the Holy Spirit pours out in our lives and empowers us to live and labor to the glory of God. Here's the first thing I want you to see. Number one, if you're going to live by God's grace, you need to realize the source of God's grace is his goodness and loving kindness. The source of God's grace is his goodness and loving kindness. Look at verse 3, and then we'll get to verse 4. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of our God, our Savior, appeared. I wanted to read verse 3 to give you the context of verse 4, because verse 4 starts with that contrastive conjunction, but. And when you look at verse 3, he starts listing our resume of ungodliness. He talks about how we were foolish, how we were disobedient, how we were led astray, how we were slaves or enslaved to passions and pleasures, and we passed our days in malice and envy. We were hated by other people, and we weren't the victims in that because we was hating other people as well. But then Paul gets to verse 4, and he says, but. He says, the loving kindness, the goodness of our God appeared. That word appeared literally means to shine forth or break forth. It's like the great dawn of a day when the sun begins to rise above the horizon. He says, but the goodness and loving kindness of our God and our Savior appeared. The goodness of God speaks to his benevolent nature. The loving kindness of God speaks of his merciful heart. He's drawn to us even when we fail him. Grace is not the invention of people. Grace is the intervention of God. Let me say it again for somebody that missed it. You did not invent grace. You benefited from the intervening power of God's grace. Grace doesn't just cover our mistakes. Grace helps us conquer our mistakes. Grace doesn't ignore our sin. Grace intervenes so we can be saved. And if you trace every good thing in your life, it leads back to one source, and that's God, his goodness and his loving kindness. A little boy once fell into a deep well. And as he was going down, he was grabbing and hollering and grabbing and hollering, and he grabbed hold of a small root that was jutting out from the wall of that well. He was terrified. So much so that he kept his eyes closed because he's down in this well, and he literally, paralyzed by fear, can't hear or see anything. All he is doing is trying to figure out how to grab hold and keep hold of this one root that's jutting out from that wall. People are up at the top after learning that he had fell in, and they're hollering and screaming to him, giving him directions. They had lowered a rope down to him, and they were telling him to let go of the root and grab hold of the rope. But my brothers and sisters, he was so terrified and so paralyzed by his fear, he couldn't hear anything going on around him. All he knew to do was just hold on as tight as he could. Finally, after holding on for as long as he could, he grew weary. That root began to slip out of his hand, and finally he had to let it go. To his surprise, when he let it go, instead of falling feet down into the well, he only dropped a couple of inches because somebody caught him. He was so paralyzed by fear, unable to hear what people were saying around him, that he failed to notice that his father had lowered himself down into the well and was there to catch him when he finally let go. My brothers and my sisters, that's what grace looks like. Grace is not something we climb up to reach. Grace is something that comes down to us. God, in his infinite wisdom, came down to us. Grace didn't start with our goodness. It started with God's goodness. It wasn't earned by our effort. It was extended by God's loving kindness. Look at Romans chapter 2, verse 4, the New Living Translation. Let's read it together. Don't you see how wonderfully patient, tolerant, and patient God is? I'm sorry, wonderfully kind, tolerant, and patient God is with you. Does this mean nothing to you? Can't you see that his kindness is intended to turn you from your sin? Romans 3, 25 and 26 says, for God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. This sacrifice shows that God was being fair when he held back and did not punish those who sinned in times past. For he was looking ahead and including them in what he would do in this present time. God did this to demonstrate his righteousness, for he himself is fair and just, and he makes sinners right in his sight when they believe in Jesus. See, when you realize the source of grace is God's goodness and loving kindness, you stop trying to earn what has already been freely given. You stop measuring your worth by your personal performance and start marveling at his mercy. Somebody in here, I want to set you free, because you don't need to transfer the same thing that fuels you in what you do in the world to what God expects from you in the kingdom, because he has already provided. You don't have to try to win approval. You've already gotten approval. You don't have to work to get something from God. God has already blessed you with all you have need of. So stop measuring your worth by your performance and start marveling at his mercy. Stop seeing grace as a reward for good behavior and start seeing it as a revelation of God's character. When you wake up in the morning and the enemy whispers to you and says something like this, you're not good enough. For once in your life, agree with the devil and say, you're right, I'm not good enough. But my God is. His goodness is greater than my guilt. His kindness is deeper than my shame. Grace is not the proof of how good I am. Grace is the proof of how good God has been, is, and will be. I wish I had a witness in here somewhere. Here's the second thing. Number two, you need to realize the substance of God's grace is his mercy, not your merit. The substance of God's grace is his mercy, not your merit. It's right here in the verse. Verse 5, we're going to focus on the A part of that verse. He saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his mercy. He saved us not because of what we had done, but according to his mercy. Paul, in this passage, dismantles every human reason for boasting. He says, let me take away all of your boastability. First, he says, it's not your position. It's not what field you work in. It's not your race, creed, color, or your socioeconomic status that makes you who you are. It's not your performance. It's not how good you have been at your best or how bad you have been at your worst, because we know even at our best, the Bible says, all our righteousness is as filthy rags before the Lord. It's not your pedigree. It's not who your mama was, who your daddy was, how far back you can trace your family tree. Salvation is God's act of mercy to benefit a helpless humanity. We're not saved by good works. We're not saved through good works, and we're not saved in exchange for good works. We are saved to do good works by the mercy of God. Matter of fact, when you do what you should do based on what God has commanded you to do, every time you obey God, you're basically saying to God, thank you. You are tatan God. Every time God tells you to do something, you obey, not to get God's love, but as a recognition that you have already received God's love. A man was in the courtroom, guilty of speeding through a small town. The fine was $200. The young man hung his head and said, "Your Honor, I don't have any money. I don't have a way to pay this fine." To his surprise, and to the surprise of everyone in the courtroom, the judge stood up, took off his robe, walked down from the bench, and laid $200 down on the clerk's table. Then he put his robe back on and said, "As judge, I must uphold the law. Your fine has been paid." What you may not realize was the judge was the man's father. And that's mercy, y'all. Mercy doesn't cancel the need for justice, but it satisfies the requirement of justice through compassion. The father didn't change the law. He just made sure the law didn't break his son. And my brothers and sisters, that's what God does every day for us. He makes sure that we're not broken because of his mercy. He didn't overlook our sin, but God overruled our sin and our sinful judgment with a merciful verdict. He didn't save us because we were good. He saved us because he is merciful. Look at Romans chapter 3, verse 27 through 28. "Then what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By a law of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law." Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. Let's read it together. "But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you." See, when you understand the substance of grace is God's mercy and not your merit, you stop trying to perform for God's approval and start resting in God's acceptance of you. You stop trying to fix what only God can forgive. You stop living by the scoreboard of works and start living by the story of his mercy. Every time you fail to remember, God's mercy doesn't run out when yours does. Every time you fail to remember God's grace, you've got to remember that you can't earn it. You can only receive it. You can't work for it. You can only worship and get it. You have to say, instead of "have I done enough," your statement should be, "God, you've done it all." And I want you to know this is a liberating grace, because you don't work for it. You can work out of it. You don't labor to be loved. You labor because you are loved. And when you live like that, your life testimony becomes something like this: "I'm not saved by what I've done for God. I'm saved by what God has done for me." Here's the third thing. Number three, you need to realize the strength of God's grace is the power of the Holy Spirit. The strength of God's grace is the power of the Holy Spirit. Look at the B part of verse 5. "By the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior." Let me connect you to the early part of verse 5. "He saved us, not because of the works we had done in righteousness, but according to his mercy," mercy more than merit, and then says, "You have been washed of regeneration and renewal by the Holy Spirit." Grace is not just a past event. And this is really what I want you to get today. Grace is present day empowerment. In other words, you can look and you can shout and you can celebrate that you were saved by grace. Hallelujah to the Lamb. But somebody needs to rejoice every day, because every day you are kept by his grace. Grace keeps you. Grace provides for you. Grace protects you. And when you focus on God's grace, listen to me carefully, your weariness becomes worship. Your pressure becomes purpose. Your frustration becomes the fuel for your faithfulness. A lamp can be beautifully designed, polished, elegant, brand new bulb, but it will do nothing until it's plugged into a power source. It can't fulfill its purpose. You can flip the switch, you can adjust the shade, you can move it closer to the table, but if it's not plugged in, if it's not connected to the power source, it stays dark. And my brothers and sisters, that's how too many of us live. We've got a great form, we've got a pretty shade, we've got a great design, and we've got great potential. But here's the problem: we're not plugged into the power source. We're not recognizing that the power does not come from ourselves, it comes from God through the power of the Holy Spirit. And God says you need to let his light shine through you, but it can only happen when you are connected to the power source, and that's the Spirit of God made available to us by the grace of God. Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by the testing, or by testing, you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Everyone under the sound of my voice, you have already been created to be the light of the world. And God wants you to now make sure that you are connected to the power source. Make sure you are plugged in. Just don't look like a lamp. Light up your world by staying plugged in to God's power source. Here's the fourth and final thing. Number four, you need to realize the security of God's grace is your position as an heir of eternal life. It's right here in the text. I'm almost embarrassed to show it to you. Look at verse 7. So that being justified by his grace, there it is, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. You're not just saved by grace, you are secured by grace. Grace not only forgives you your past, grace in our verse guarantees your future. You're not an employee earning wages, you are an heir receiving an inheritance. See, when you recognize that you are an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ, you can give your best without fear of failing, because God's love isn't performance-based. God's love is based on your position and the promise that he's already made to you. Imagine for a moment a wealthy father passing away, writing his will, leaving his will, in his will, everything to his only son. But imagine that son never coming to the reading of the will. Imagine that son never learning that everything his father had was left to him. And imagine this son living far below where he could be living simply because he was ignorant of what his father had provided. My brothers and sisters, can I tell you something? There are too many of us in the body of Christ who are spiritually living far below where God wants us to be. God has provided everything you need, everything I need to walk in the victory that God has promised to us. But the problem is, too many of us are living as if we are spiritual orphans, trying to make it on our own, living like spiritual paupers when God has made you an heir of eternal life. And here's the wonderful thing about being an heir: you don't have to earn what God has already given. And if God has already given it, listen carefully, you don't have to worry about losing what God has provided. Look at Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people. Romans chapter 8, verse 15. Let's read it together. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may be also glorified with him. As an heir, you don't have to fear being disinherited because your salvation is not fragile. Your salvation is finished. You don't have to live in insecurity because you have already been included in the family of God. You don't have to fear losing what you could never secure on your own. You are justified by faith through grace. See, I'm no longer a slave to fear. I'm a child of God. I'm no longer a beggar, I'm blessed. And you are no longer to try to earn a place in God's house when you already have a seat at the table. You don't have to just hope you can inherit what God has for you. When you step back and look at this passage, Paul paints a masterpiece of mercy. He paints a portrait of grace in motion. He says, you have received the source of grace, God's goodness and loving kindness. You have received the substance of grace, God's mercy, not your merit. You have received the strength of grace, God's power in the Holy Spirit. And you have received the security of grace, your position as an heir of eternal life. That's why when you understand God's grace, you can stand on the promises of God. You don't have to boast in yourself, but you can bow to the Savior. Somebody in here, you don't have to live in guilt. You can live in God's grace. Because here's the blessing. Grace covers your past. Have I got a witness here? And grace not only covers your past, grace carries you in your present. But he doesn't stop with your past and your present. Grace has you covered for your future. So somebody today, I want you to thank God for his grace. Grace that found you when you were lost. Grace that forgave you when you were guilty. Grace that freed you when you were bound. Grace that filled you when you were empty. Grace that fixed you when you were broken. Grace that fortifies you when you're weak. Grace that fuels you to keep going when you feel like giving up. Grace that brought you this far. And grace that'll lead you home. I don't know about you, but here's what I realized. I didn't find grace. Grace found me. I didn't earn grace. Grace embraced me. I couldn't buy grace because grace bought me. You didn't reach up to God, but thank God he reached down to you. And because of his grace, God is working on you. He reminds you that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. So somebody, under the sound of my voice, I need you to say, like Paul says, I am who I am by the grace of God. I stand where I stand by the grace of God. I live how I live by the grace of God. And I plan on making it to the end of my journey by the grace of God. Have I got a witness here? Yes, sir. Grace got you when you couldn't get yourself. Grace found you when you were lost. Grace forgave you when you were in sin. Grace freed you when you were bound. Grace filled you when you were empty and all alone. And I'm so glad that I'm covered by the grace of God. Have I got a witness in here? I'm so glad that I'm carried by His grace. I'm covered by His grace. I'm saved by His grace. I'm sustained by His grace. I'm secure by His grace. I'm strengthened by His grace. And I'm forever a child of God. Not because of what I've done, but because of the grace of God. I stand where I stand today by His grace. I live how I live by His grace. Day by day, I make it by His grace. Anybody else, are you grateful for His grace today? Are you grateful for a grace that looks beyond your faults and sees your needs? I'm so glad grace found me. Grace freed me, grace filled me, and I'm so glad grace keeps me. Here's what I've learned. You know, when you've been a Christian for a minute, when you first saved, you realize it was all God's grace. But when you've been saved for a minute, you start thinking you can help God out, and you don't need grace as much as you used to need it. But is there anybody in here who's not ashamed to say, no, I need grace more now than I ever did in my life before? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It was by the grace of the Lord I've come a long way. Have I got a witness in here? It was by the grace of the Lord I've come a long way. I've been traveling through the storm and rain, and it was God Almighty who held my hand. It was by the grace, yeah, of the Lord I've come a long, long way. It was by the grace of the Lord I've come a long way. It was by the grace of the Lord
I've come a long way. When I was down to my last dime, hey, the Lord stepped in right on time. Can I get one or two people who are not ashamed to say, it was by the grace of the Lord I've come a long way. It was by the grace of the Lord I've come a long way. It was by the grace of the Lord I've come a long way. I should have been dead, sleeping in my grave, but the Lord made old death made old death behave. It was by the grace of the Lord I've come a long, 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 long way. Come on, if you can stand on your feet, if that's your testimony today, that you're only here by His grace. As Elder Taylor gives us a song of invitation, I want to give somebody an opportunity today to say yes. The wonderful thing about a yes to God is you can say yes right where you are, and God will meet you where you are and not tell anybody where He found you. He'll meet you where you are. You give Him a yes right now. He'll meet you where you are and then take you where you need to be. But it all starts with a yes from you. Same grace that saved you is the same grace that keeps you. Songwriter said it's amazing grace. And the worse your sin was, the more amazing grace may be. Somebody could just shout right there, just on amazing grace. Folk around you don't know where you've been. They don't know what you've done. They don't know what's crossed your mind. Hey! But when I think about how far He's brought me, when I recognize that where I am, He's brought me. What I know, He taught me. Who I am, He made me. And where I'm going, He's going to have to lead me. It's by His grace. If you're here today and you've never asked the Lord Jesus Christ into your life, if you're here today and you're looking for a church home, we invite you to come. The men and women who are up front would love to show you privately how to ask the Lord into your life. If you're watching right now, wherever you are, you can use the QR code on the screen. And there are men and women who will respond to you and will let you know what you need to do to give your life to the Lord, to become part of this church family. Here's what I want you to know. We're not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. Lord knows we are an imperfect people trying to serve a perfect God, and we welcome you to join us on the journey. Wherever you are, God will meet you where you are, but He won't leave you there. He'll make something beautiful out of your life. Come on and come if you're here right now. Come on.
Grace saved me.
Yes, sir.
When my verdict read guilty. Grace kept me when I couldn't keep myself. Grace will sustain me until I reach glory. Oh, what it means to me. Oh, grace when my verdict read guilty, God's grace kept me. When I couldn't keep myself, grace will sustain me until I reach glory.
Let me tell you something beautiful about grace. Grace is not for the perfect, it's for the repentant. Grace is not for those who are worthy, it's for those who are willing. Grace is not for those who think they've got it all together. Grace is for those who need to get it together. Paul said he saved us by grace, not because of our works that were done in righteousness, but according to his mercy. If you've never accepted Christ and you're here today, I want to say to you, you can come. You can use the QR code on the screen. Somebody would be happy to show you privately today how to ask the Lord into your life. Here's the wonderful thing about grace. You don't have to fix yourself first before you come to God. Because God knows if you could fix yourself, you'd already be fixed. He wants you to just come. You don't have to earn his love. It's available. All you got to do is receive it. Elder's going to sing that chorus one more time. And if you're here, come on and make that step today. We'll rejoice when you come. We won't look at you funny, I promise. Come on. Grace.
Grace saved me when my verdict read guilty. Grace kept me when I couldn't keep myself. Will sustain me until I reach glory. Oh, what it means to
you. May be seated. You may be seated. Somebody give God a hand of praise for his grace today. Now, come on, if you know you really don't deserve grace, come on, give God some prayer like you know you don't deserve grace.